As Los Angeles considers whether it wants to try and host the 2024 Summer Olympics, Boston, the city which had the U.S. bid until this week, is reflecting. On Monday, the U.S. Olympic Committee pulled its support for Boston's plan to host the 2024 Summer Games after Mayor Marty Walsh said he wouldn't put taxpayers on the hook for cost overruns. And now the second guessing is on. Did Boston miss a huge opportunity to showcase itself to the world? Or did it make the smart, responsible decision to protect itself from the financial burden of hosting the Games? Boston Mayor Marty Walsh joins us now. Mayor, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, back in January, a day after the U.S. Olympic Committee announced that Boston had won the U.S. bid, you said this.
Boston has a vision for a new kind of Olympics, a vision that challenges the norm, encourages creative solutions, that embodies the community spirit that makes the Games what they are.
If you really believed in these Games, do you think you should have fought harder to get the public on board for these and bring them to Boston?
No, I think what happened here was in a couple of days reflection now, when you look at really what happened is what I said in January, I think we were doing. The issue was that we didn't have enough time to be able to put plans together, explain to the public, talk to the naysayers, and be able to convince people on why the movement was good. And there were some missteps along the way as well. I think ultimately what happened here was it came down to the host community agreement. People worried about taxes. People worried about taxpayers' dollars going into the Olympics. People worried about the taxpayers covering overruns and costs overrunning in the Olympics. And I was very clear from the beginning we weren't going to do that. But when I talk about not having enough time, we didn't have enough time to be able to vet it through. And I think if what I said on Monday was said probably publicly, and I'd said it many times publicly, but it's forceful, 6 months ago, it might have been a different situation.
Were you not worried about cost overruns?
No, I wasn't worried about cost overruns. Steve Pagliuca, the chair, put together a very strong fiscal financial plan. And we also had some, we were putting together an insurance policy that would have covered any of the overruns that people were concerned about or that we would be concerned about ultimately as a city and as in the United States Olympic Committee. But unfortunately, we didn't get to put that plan, fully vet that plan and explain it to people.
So why do you think there were so many naysayers, so many people who did have those concerns in Boston?
I think it was the fear of the unknown. I think a lot of people weren't completely sure what an Olympic movement was all about and how to host the Olympics. You know, you got to remember that it's only been 7 or 8 times in United States history that a city has gone for the Olympics. We've hosted the Olympics in America 5 times, and I think maybe 6 times with Lake Placid twice. But people don't really understand what it is, what the Olympics are. And there was some stories from Sochi of the road and some concerns about overruns and what's happening in Brazil. And so a lot of those international stories start to come to the United States saying that the same thing is going to happen here in America.
And you didn't think that would happen?
No, I didn't think it would happen. I think if you look at 2 international cities, you look at Barcelona and London and what it's transformed those 2 cities, and you look at what the Olympics did for Atlanta and really created unbelievable economic development in Atlanta and helped their city. It helped Utah. And in the 2 failed bids in the United States, most recent being Chicago and New York, there was also tremendous benefit for those 2 cities by pursuing the Olympics and not getting them. There was a legacy factor afterwards where they're seeing growth happening now because of the Olympic conversation.
Well, how much do you think the memories of the Big Dig, this huge project that happened in Boston to put the highway underground, that cost a lot of money, cost more than it was supposed to, took longer than it was supposed to, there were allegations of corruption involved with the Big Dig, how much was that in the back of people's mind as they thought about spending a lot of money and a lot of time on the Olympics?
I think that came up a few times in conversation, and I think that, you know, people, the Big Dig, I mean, when you think about the project that was there, it was an incredible project, putting the Southeast Expressway, the Central Artery underground, was actually an incredible project, but there were overruns on it, and there was mismanagement on the management level of it that caused tremendous problems, and still, we're still paying for that. And I think that probably idea added to it, but we weren't talking about putting a road underground. This was not going to be a publicly financed project. This is going to be mainly privately financed, and the public financing would have come, ironically, just in the infrastructure and the security piece of it.
But is the Big Dig something that you would do again if given the opportunity?
I think absolutely. When you take a tunnel, if you look at the benefits of the Big Dig, the aftermath, You're talking about we created open space through the heart of our city. We created, we connected our city. We connected the waterfront to the downtown. I think that if something like the Big Dig were to happen now, I think I'd obviously have a downsize the bureaucracy around it. And I would probably, put somebody over the time of the Big Dig, there were several people that ran the project. You have to have one person that runs the project, and you also have to have insurance to cover any overruns. And clearly what they did with the Big Dig was a construction marvel. There definitely was problems though with the cost, and they weren't expecting the cost to escalate. When you're talking about millions of dollars compared to billions of dollars, there's a big difference here. And with the Big Dig, it was billions of dollars of overruns. That was the problem.
What would be your message now to people in Los Angeles, which, you know, you check out the LA Times on a daily basis now, and they are very excited about the possibility that they will be able to bid for the Olympics in 2024. What would you say to the people there?
I mean, I wish them luck if they bid for it. I know that the USOC had told me that Boston was their city and they weren't going anywhere else. But if LA comes into the mix, I wish them luck. I wish them well. The first call, one of the first calls I received after we won the bid was I got a text from Mayor Garcetti from L.A. congratulating me and wishing me well, and I would do the same to him. You know, I think that it would be a great opportunity to bring the games back to the United States of America. However, I think the way the rules are currently set up, it puts a United States city at a disadvantage because of that cost guarantee that has to be signed.
Would you support an L.A. bid if they got the bid?
If they get the bid, I absolutely will support them. I'm not going to be bitter towards them. But, I think that the USOC made it very clear to me that Boston was their choice. It would probably make me think a little bit about how committed was the USOC to Boston.
And what do you make of what the IOC President Thomas Bach saying, that the project planning was handled poorly? They're putting the blame on Boston for losing the bid. And Boston failed to deliver on promises. Were there promises that were made that were not delivered on?
Let me just say two things to that. One is the USOC, and there's some great people on the board there, and I don't want to get into a back and forth with them, but they kept raising the bar on Boston all along. And they were raising the bar because the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach's rules, and Thomas Bach's rules and regulations basically were saying to us that Boston and the taxpayers of Boston were going to have to pay for any overruns, or if the games got canceled, Boston would have to pick up the cost. And I don't know about Thomas Bach, but I represent people, and I'm not going to, and the people of Boston, nor me as the mayor of Boston, are going to allow taxpayers' money to be used to fix a problem that they clearly have internally, the IOC. The IOC needs to fix that language there. It's something that the USOC, I know, has some concerns about. The people of LA will have concerns about it. The people of San Francisco will have concerns about it. The people of Washington, D.C. should have concerns about it. Anybody who if the Olympics were to be canceled and that guarantee is signed, that means the city that's hosting that has to pick up every single penny of overruns. I think that's a big problem, and I think that Mr. Bach is in his 2020 agenda to bring a more economical games to cities around the world, better fix that language.
Some of the people who were against the Olympics coming to Boston, people who live here in Boston, have said, okay, we didn't get the Olympics. Now, why don't we make all the infrastructure improvements that would have come as a result of getting the Olympics? What do you think about that? Getting all those things together by 2024?
I agree with them, and I think that's something we have to do. I mean, we're still growing as an economy. Forget the Olympics for a minute, put them aside. By 2024, 2025, our city is probably going to be 700,000 people big. We are probably going to have a lot more economic development going on. We're going to have more companies working here. There's a need for more housing. We have a plan to build 53,000 units of housing. So all of the things that we spoke about the Olympics, we were moving forward regardless. The Olympics were just part of the conversation.
And what about an upgrade of the transit system? Obviously, people around the country remember that over the winter, it really did not stand up to the snow.
Yeah, and that has to happen regardless. I mean, I know that we had a tough winter and the snow really, really added to the disabling of the MBTA. But regardless of snow and regardless of the Olympics, the MBTA is a system that needs to be upgraded. I know that the governor put together a task force, and he's working on that, and I support him in moving forward and in fixing the MBTA. I mean, if we want to grow as a city and as a region in the greater Boston area, we need a reliable public transportation system, and that's probably one of the number one priorities that we need to continue to grow as a city and as a region.
Well, how much has Boston's brand been hurt, though, by what just happened? I saw a quote in the Boston Globe. Somebody said that Boston looks like a parochial backwater.
Well, they can say what they want. All I know right now in Boston is that we have over $7 billion worth of construction going on. That's probably one of the largest amounts of construction in the country. Our population is 655,000 people, the largest since the 60s. Our unemployment rate is a little below 4%. We are on an economic high right now. We're moving forward. We have investors from around the world calling my office regularly looking to invest in our city. We have developers from around the country and around the world wanting to come into Boston. So I think that when you talk about what's happening, if people aren't going to come to Boston because of the rules that we had to live by with the USOC and the IOC, there's not much I can do about that. But I do know that right now, wherever I go, whether it was the Conference of Mayors in September, Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado, or the Vatican in Rome, everybody's talking about how great Boston is.
That's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Mayor Walsh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.